The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Without a doubt, our great God loves us and desires the very best for us. I think we all understand that. And I mean even in death. Go with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we begin reading in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those who are dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We don't sorrow because we have hope. And we have hope that is explained, that is understood through the holy days, through all of this incredible, wonderful plan of salvation. Others don't have that. We have it, and we thank God that we have it, and we thank God for it. Let's go on, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. A lot of times we'll change that word and use the word precede. And precede is a good word, but also is prevent. When you really understand it, because we're not going to do anything to prevent them from being resurrected. We want them to be resurrected. God doesn't want to prevent them from being resurrected. It's going to happen. And yes, in the context, we can see, and no, we're not going to precede them. So we understand. And I think both words are an acceptable word when we think about it as it is. And so we go on. Them which are asleep. Verse 14. For our And the reason is because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ, that have been dead, that have been resurrected, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore, or therefore, comfort one another with these words. Or comfort one another because of these words. Because of the knowledge that we have. That God loves us so very much and wants the best for us, even in death. And of course, we also, in the context, we read this, and of course, I think we should understand this comfort one another and the knowing that he is going to return and knowing that he is going to resurrect even those that are dead in Christ at that time, it assumes that we are prepared for his coming. There's an assumption here that those that are alive and remain are prepared or ready for his return. And this would include whether or not we are among those who are dead or we are among those who are alive when he comes. So I think there's a question that I would like for us to ask ourselves today, and the question is, are we prepared? Are we preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ, and then as a result of that, the resurrection of those that we love in Christ, whether that be us or someone else? A question that I would ask is that he is coming, and we know that he is coming. And a question is, like in a child's game, that sometimes I know that I played this as a game, the question is it a here he comes, ready or not? Are we prepared? Are we preparing ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ? In 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul tells us how we can be preparing for Jesus' return. All of the answers about it, all of the preparation needs to take place is not in this book. But a great deal of things are here. And we're going to take a look at these. We're going to take a look at some of these things. And as a result, we're going to ask ourselves, what are some of those things that we will have been prepared or we are preparing for the return of Jesus Christ that we can see? And I put it this way. What are some of the things that we will have thought about and some of the things that we have accepted as truth in our preparation for the return of Jesus Christ? Well, as I said, there are many, and I'm going to see a limited few here in this sermon today. So let's continue on here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the first point that I want us to take a look at here in our preparation, that we have a knowledge of this and we have an acceptance of this as truth, and as a result of knowing this, this is actually helping us in preparing for his return. Point number one is, he will come as a thief in the night. Now, that's an important thing to understand and to realize, and we'll see that. The point is, we know he is coming, therefore we prepare for it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You know about the plan of salvation. You know about what's coming. You know the times and the seasons. This is what he, in essence, is referring to. In verse 2, he says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. In the context, we will see that he is talking about the return. And so it's not limited to that period of time that we typically think about, you know, this period of time that is somewhere around 3.5 years before he returns. And the context here, it is focusing on the actual coming of Jesus Christ. We just read, he's going to resurrect those whenever he comes. And so it's all of this, but that's the focus of it. And I want us to see that and realize this. Here's the point in reading this. For some, his return will be a total surprise. They're not going to be prepared. They're not going to be ready for it. You may want to put a marker here in 1 Thessalonians. We will be coming back and forth. We're going to spend most of the time in 1 Thessalonians. But let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, in the context of that verse, it is referring to that period of time of the day of the Lord, as we would, it's another subject altogether. But in 1 Thessalonians, it is referring to that, but it is primarily referring to the coming himself. And so the term can be used interchangeable in some ways. Then we see on the other hand, his coming will not overtake them who are prepared. Because if you knew the thief was going to come and break into your house, would you go ahead and go to sleep? Or would you sit up for him? Would you prepare yourself for him? Well, that's a stupid question when you put it in that way. Well, that's the context. They're going to be unprepared because he's going to come like a thief in the night because people don't know that the thief is going to come. If you're prepared, then you're not surprised. You're not going to be overtaken. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, but that day should overtake you as a thief. No, the lights are on. If you knew the thief is going to come and you don't believe the lights off, you turn the lights on. Now, Jesus Christ is not a thief. He's only using it as an analogy so that we would understand. A thief comes, primarily he's referring to it, when a thief comes, it's in the darkness, you're not prepared, and there's no lights on, you're not prepared for it, and you don't see it. He's saying, no, we're not in darkness. We see it. We know it. We're prepared for it. And that is the difference. That is the difference. Brethren, here's the issue. We can be ready for his coming, even though we don't know when it's going to be, because we're not in darkness when these things happen. We're prepared. We're looking forward. We got the lights on. We're ready. We're looking. Again, as we've already seen and as we've already stated, many will be in darkness. And it's going to be a sudden destruction that is going to overtake them and come upon them. Brethren, you see, when he does come, some are going to be saying that there is peace and safety. And that ties into it. That means they're not ready. They're not ready for this. Oh, everything is hunky-dory. Everything is peace and our safety going on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It is like the time of a woman who is pregnant. It's referring to, and it's making the comparison here, to a woman who is having labor pains. You know, they're going on. She's not going to get out of that. It's what he's saying. Well, they're not going to get out of this. It's an analogy that he uses all of that. So in other words, what he is saying is for some, there will be no time and there will be no way to escape the destruction that's going to come. Because they're looking and they're saying, peace and safety, everything is going okay, everything is hunky-dory. It isn't going to be. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, we begin. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. This reveal from heaven means this coming. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Not those who know God, but those who don't know God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. At his coming, there's going to be people trying to state, you know, get the information out, peace and safety, everything is right. And he says, and when he comes, there's going to be sudden destruction because there's going to be people who are not obeying God and they don't know God. And it's going to come upon them. And it's kind of going to come on them in a sense very suddenly and with great vengeance. And they don't know it because they don't know God. Then, for those who are prepared, this day is going to be a day of glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. It's talking about at his coming. There's going to be some that are going to be overtaken because they don't believe God, they're not obeying God, but those that are prepared, they're going to call it a day of glory. A day of glory. Now, what about those who are asleep in Jesus, those that are dead? Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We begin reading in verse 13. But I would not that you be ignorant. And yes, I know I've read these before. I'm going to reread several of these verses several times to make the point that we're looking at. That you would not be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now we see the context of what he's saying. We have hope because we know that they're asleep. They're dead. We use the word dead, but it's as if they are asleep. They're going to be awakened out of it whenever he comes. This is what he's showing us. This is what he's saying. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Yes, thank you, God. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's the Feast of Trumpets. And there's a whole lot of information that goes into that point right here. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then what we see is the Apostle Paul addresses those who are prepared for his coming and are alive at that time. We've seen what's going to happen to those who are dead in Christ. Now we see what's going to happen to those who are prepared and alive in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the first point that we see is in our preparation is that we know his coming is going to be suddenly. We understand that his coming is going to be like a thief in the night. We don't know exactly what it is, but we're going to be prepared for it. There are others are not. There are people who are not going to be prepared, and we will be. A second point that we would be thinking about and that we would accept it as truth in our preparation for Jesus' return is we are not in darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. The world is in darkness. And it's as if they're walking around in darkness, meaning they don't know. They don't have the truth of God. They've not been enlightened. And then there are people who says, you're not that way. You're not like those who are in darkness and don't see the truth. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. In other words, they do these things in darkness without understanding, without knowledge of God. Remember we read that they don't know God and they don't obey God? This is what he's talking about. There are people that are that way. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day, in other words, during the light time, we have the light, we have the knowledge, we've been instructed, we've been given, we've been blessed. It says, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath. The word appointed could also be selected. Is he saying that there are people who have been selected for this? And then there are others who haven't been selected for this? And the answer is, yeah, that's what he's saying. John 6:44. No one can come to me except the Father draw him, selects him, appoints him. Big, big subject. Verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but he has appointed us to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Verse 10. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Verse 11, wherefore or therefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another even as you also do. Took a little bit closer look at some of the things that are in these verses, verses 5 through 9. A little bit more time on these. I have three bullets. The first one is we are children of light and of the day, implying there's some that are not of the light and they're not of the day. But we are, is what the verse says. The next bullet is we are to be watchful and to be sober. There's implying some aren't watchful and some aren't sober. And the third point, we cast off works of darkness. In other words, we've been there, we've done that, we've been in darkness, we recognize it, but because God has selected us to be in his light, we cast off the ways of darkness. In other words, sin. We don't want it. We don't want anything to do with it. Do we still sin? Do we still miss the mark? Do we still do those things that are contrary to God's will? Of course we do. We're human. But we don't remain there. We cast them off. We cast them off, and that's the point. Go with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 11, we will begin. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, and now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And this is the point he's saying. Whenever we first understood it, to when it's returning, we are closer to it. The further we go on, the closer we are to it. And this is what he wants us to think about. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The darkness is gone. It's far spent. It's gone. Far spent means it's past with us. It's past there. The day is at hand. We're living in the day. We're living in the truth, the light of God, not in the darkness any longer. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in the rioting and drunkenness, nor in the chambering and the wantonness, not in strife and envying. Some of us have done that. We've been there. This is part of our past. That's in the darkness, and we cast that off. That's no longer us. We've repented. We've changed. Jesus Christ has paid that, has covered over that in our lives, and we're moving on. Verse 14, but put on you the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We back there. That's what we did. We were fulfilling the lust. No, we don't do that any longer. Those that are prepared for the return of Jesus Christ and all that that means, we're no longer doing that. We're moving forward. We're moving further in the daylight, not in darkness. It is implying what the world is doing. And we're no longer there. Who do you want to look like and act like? The world or like God and Jesus Christ? I mean, it's a sobering question. You know, it sounds like, you know, da-da-da-da-da. It sounds like a really, you know, almost like a lame question, but it is an awesome question to truly think about. Who do we want to look like? Therefore, as a result of that, because we cast off works of darkness, these verses show us that we seek to walk honestly, or we seek to work properly with God, a right way. We want to walk in a way that pleases God. And as a result of that, we will be watching, we will be watchful of His coming. Go back with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watchful or watchfulness includes prayer and repentance. It includes a lot of things. But I'm going to show you that it includes these two points. It includes that we're going to be prayerful and we're going to be repentant. We're going to have this attitude. Repentance is not just keep saying, I'm sorry that I did this wrong. I'm sorry if I did this wrong. Repentance has more to do with, and I think this is an interesting way of putting it, repentance has more to do with future than it does with past. Because we were doing X that was wrong. We realized that God called us, showed it to us. It was darkness. He turns the light on. And now we're going in the other direction. And repentance is we keep going in that direction and it gets further and further. The darkness keeps further and further getting away from us. And we're going further and further into it. And so it's not we keep repenting. And this is a misconception I think that sometimes even people in the church have. And it says, and we repent over these. And I think you got to keep going back and saying, well, I did this wrong and I did this wrong. No, it's continue to go in the right direction. It's more to do with the future than it does necessarily with that. That's past. And so we need to understand, I want to say this, is watchfulness includes prayer and repentance. Again, hold your place in 1 Thessalonians because we'll come back. But now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to put together a couple of passages here to show you these two points together. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter 4 verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things. That's the return of Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of the end of all things. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We've already been instructed. We're going to be sober. And part of this being sober and watchfulness is going to be coupled with prayer. That's the point there. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. Verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before you. Now he's talking to one of the churches. But we can certainly take this and we can apply this into our lives. If it fits, you know, we take the warning and we do this. Verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, you should not watch. You see how I'm tying these two points in together. I will come on you as a thief. If we're not watching. And watching has to do with prayer and it has to do with repentance. This is what we see. We'll come on a thief, like a thief. And that's what we read at the very beginning here. And you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. Okay, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians again. Turn back there sleep in these verses of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 and 7. We read those. I'm not going to read them again right here. These verses are referring to spiritual carelessness. I mean, so in the context we read, those which are asleep, and it's talking about death. And then in the same context we use the word sleep, and it's referring to spiritual carelessness. And so we have to understand it. Those who are preparing for Jesus' coming will be sober. In other words, they will not be still involved in spiritual carelessness, which is what it's saying. Let's read those verses. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep. He said, it's not saying let us not die. I mean, if we had an option, we probably none of us would. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? So that's not what it is saying. Therefore, let us not sleep. Let us not be, you know, there with some kind of spiritual carelessness in our lives, as do others. But let us watch and be sober. Now, we've already talked about watchful and some things that that will involve, but we're going to talk about sober. Verse 7, though. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Those that are involved in spiritual carelessness is what he's referring to. But verse 8, the A part of it, but let us who are of the day be sober. So this word sober, the word literally means to be temperate, or it means to be abstinent. And it is referring to the word in a literal sense, is referring to like not drinking too much wine. But there is also the sense in words that we find in the Bible as well. And this word, the sense of it would be how it is usually used in the context. Because he's not talking about, okay, let's not be, you know, and let's watch and be sober. He's not saying let's not be drunk. Well, obviously we don't want to be drunk, but it's more than that. So the sense of it is, it would be a general sense to be sober-minded or to be watchful and to be cautious. And that is how that is the case here. This is how it would be rendered here. This is how it would be interpreted here. And there are some scriptures, there are some Bible translations that will have one or other of those words as opposed to sober. And they have it. They have the sense of it. And so, and that's a good thing to take a look at. Okay, the next thing I want us to take a look at is I want us to notice how Jesus relates this to watching for his coming in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. So let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. We're going to begin reading in verse 34, Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God. And again, this is referring to his coming, and we stand before Jesus Christ at his coming. That's what he's referring to. And so we see in these scriptures that we're looking at, you know, we're going to be cautious. We're going to be watching. We're not going to be careless, spiritually careless. Okay, let's move on. A third thing that those who are prepared, those who are looking for the return of Jesus Christ, some things that we have thought about and accepted in our preparation is we will receive. We know that we are receiving God's encouragement to wait. We know that it's not going to come when we think it is. We know that. And so we're going to receive encouragement from God to wait because we know that he has appointed us, chosen us to salvation. And so we can wait because what we know the end result is going to be is incredible, and we are aware of that. We know what will happen, and we know that we're going to be recipients of salvation. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath or selected us to wrath, but he has appointed us or selected us to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So what we see is this: God has not appointed or selected us unto wrath, but we also know there is a day of wrath that is coming. But we've not been appointed to that day. We've not been selected to, you know, to be involved in that oven by itself. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. We may be alive when that day of wrath is coming, but we've not been appointed. And we'll see who has been. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And I kind of broke into the thought, but that's what it's saying. God leads us to repentance. Now, repentance has to do with the fact that we're no longer in the darkness. We're no longer there. We understand that we are receiving encouragement from God to continue this way of life and looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 5. But after your hardness and impenitent or unrepentant heart, treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Some are. Some are not. You know, they're not ready. They have an unrepentant heart. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? If we're repentant and we're no longer doing that, but if you don't have a repentant heart, wrath is going to come. That's what he's saying. Verse 7. To them who by patience, continuance, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil. And then he says, to the Jew first and to the Gentile also. It's going to come upon man. That's what he's saying. This is what he's talking about. And we also know those preparing for Jesus' return, he came to deliver us from that wrath. A wrath is going to come, but we also would understand part of what he has done is delivering us from that wrath. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We who are preparing for Jesus' return, looking forward, we would understand that we've been delivered from that wrath to come. It's going to come. But we've not been appointed to go through this. We have been delivered from it. We know that his appointment to us is an appointment to salvation. Therefore, whether we wake or sleep, as the scripture says, in other words, whether we are alive or whether we're dead, when he returns, we live together with Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ will come, will God bring with him. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those are whether they are dead at the time and are resurrected, or those that are alive at the return of Jesus Christ. We're all changed and meet Jesus Christ to be with him. Point number 4 is that as those who are preparing for Jesus Christ's return, we are to comfort and edify, are to build up one another. Not only are we to know that we're to do this, we will be doing this. It will be part of those who are preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Therefore, comfort. Because we know all of these other things, therefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. In other words, those who are prepared and are waiting and looking to the return of Jesus Christ will be doing this. That's what this is saying. We will be comforting. We will be building up one another because and through the comfort that we are receiving from God. Not only will we be comforting and building up one another, It needs to be a goal that we are pursuing, that we are doing. It's part of us. It's part of who we are. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Romans 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things whereof one may edify another. Romans 15 and verse 2. Romans 15 and verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We're going to be involved in comforting one another and edifying or building up one another. It's going to be, shall we say, a sign of what the people who are prepared, really prepared, are going to be doing. And brethren, do we actually realize, have we actually thought about this, that a primary function of the church, a primary function of the called out ones of God is edification? Do we realize that? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, before any of you jump and say, wait a minute, that's talking about the ministry. I think that we can put together right here 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, where it says that it is not just for the ministry that's going to be doing this, or that will be doing this, or should be doing this. This includes all of us, and it is a primary function of the church of God. Even though we might say that it is part of a job description for the ministry, we see clearly from 1 Thessalonians, it's part of the job of every one of us. Every one of us are going to be doing that. And then it goes on, and I want to continue here, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The ministry is there for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Jesus Christ. And we've also already seen all of us are to be comforting and edifying one another. So together, we're all going to be part of this until we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Do you think this is referring to just the ministry doing this, growing up to this? I don't think so. Then I don't think that is meaning it's just a minister to be doing the edifying of the body. I think we all are to be doing it. 1 Thessalonians 5 is not addressed just to the ministry. We all are to be doing this. It is a function of the church. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, the whole body, not just the ministry, but as a result, the whole body, fitly joined together and compassed by that which every joint supplies. Who? Every joint supplies. According to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The edifying, the building of itself. Do we believe that the ministry is the body of Christ? No, we believe the minister is part of the body of Christ, but the minister is not the body of Christ. We all are fitly joined together. So I rest my case here, and I think it's very plain. We are all to be comforting and building up and edifying one another. Like I said, it is a job description of the ministry, but it is also the job description of every believer. And all these first three things that I gave culminates in the doing of that. So let me try and draw all of this together. These four points that we've seen here today, I believe, are very important overview of being prepared for Jesus' return. There are only four points. They're limited. There's a lot of others, but I limit it to one section of Scripture, you know, and I think that we can see a lot through that. And here's those four points when we stop and think about it. The number one is, we know He is going to come. And we're not going to be shocked. The world's going to be shocked. The second one is, we know we are not living in darkness. The third one is, we know we are receiving encouragement from God to wait however long it takes for Jesus Christ to return, because the Apostle Paul was waiting for it, and he's been dead, you know, rounding it off, 2,000 years. So how long it takes is not the point. It's the fact that we know he's coming, we know that we're not in darkness, and we know that we are receiving encouragement from God to wait until that event does take place, because we know that God has appointed us or selected us to give us salvation. And then the fourth point is, as a result of that, we're going to comfort and we're going to build up one another because of it. Therefore, I end with a question. Are we preparing for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You see, he is coming, ready or not. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord spoke unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are blessed.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.